Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back, guys. DJ S and KMOX. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m. we do the Think Tank. Today we had Kurt Barr and our buddy Braxton Payne scheduled. Braxton had to step out, so Mr. Rainford stepped in. We appreciate that.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it's always great to have you here. So Kurt Barr is here. So are you just getting drunk for 2 years now? I mean, you had the postmortem, but then you have to have a little downtime, right?
Well, so we're still going through the, checking all the provisional ballots and making sure that we can count those, add those mm-hmm. to the total before we have our certification on Tuesday. But yeah, after that, next year, the odd years is a little bit easier. We have a lot of paperwork to get caught up on, and then that's when we focus on training, and then that's when we start to focus on, what do we do to get ready for the next big general? So I've got it in my budget to have a new employee, and then we need to figure out exactly how, one, we have to hire that person, and we have to, vet, to have a good person so that we can be better prepared to have, more satellite voting locations, because that was the biggest criticism that we got this election is, why didn't you have more? And I'm like, well, two used to be more than enough, and immediately became not enough, and so we will work on...
That's how things change.
Exactly.
You get surprised.
And as voting patterns change, and when we adapt to that change and work to take care of our voters,
I think it'll be even bigger next time, don't you?
26, probably not, but 28, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
People kind of fell in love with it.
I do want to make a note of it that the president-elect did not claim that the election was stolen this time. And I find it always interesting that people will claim the election is stolen when they lose, but not claim that it was stolen when they win.
Pennsylvania was all sorts of problems until he pulled it, right?
Exactly.
I mean, they were ready to go in there with guns ablaze, and then he won. He's like, I guess it's okay. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not running elections in Pennsylvania.
Oh, no kidding, man. So how did St. Charles go?
St. Charles, we went great. Honestly, we had a really good election. A few little problems at the beginning of the day. We took care of that. Record turnout overall, we had the highest total number of voters, but we hit right about that 75% threshold. But yeah, we had over 150,000 people mm-hmm. show up on election day to cast a ballot. So that was really good. And then, and of course, in St. Charles County, so all the Republicans won.
Longer story than this needs to be, but it's just an analogy. When my very first exam we took in law school, there was a rumor that one of the young ladies was involved with a professor. And the proctor came in and said, now, everyone, you need a number two pencil. And she raised her dumbass hand and said, the professor said I could use a pen. Uh-huh.
Wow.
And I was like that young lady when I went to vote because my license was expired, and I knew from Kurt Barr that as long as it was after 2022, I was okay. And so they scanned my license. I'm just waiting for the confrontation. She goes, I got bad news for you. I'm like, Kurt told me it was okay. rookie mistake. They're laughing at me. They're like, yeah, we know who you are. We understand your buddies with Kurt. So he said I could vote in red crayon.
So it's good to have friends in high places.
It really is. It's just not bad to make them look foolish when you blurt it out like that. Zero chill, Dave. So 30,000 foot view. Let's start with you, Mr. Rainford. What did the Democrats learn, or what should they learn?
Wow, pretty much everything, but I'm going to boil it down to one thing because we don't have time to go through the 10 things, and that is they can, and I actually think this is good for our democracy, bad for Democrats, and that is Democrats can no longer take African-American voters for granted, and they can no longer take Hispanic voters for granted, and they can no longer treat them as a voting bloc and just assume they can open up the borders and Hispanics will be for them, or be for anti-racism and African-Americans will be for them. That not only was there evidence that Hispanic voters, some Hispanic voters, more Hispanic voters than ever voted for President Trump, and a lot of African-American men did, but the voter turnout among African-Americans, including in enclaves like St. Louis, was really frighteningly low. The voter turnout in North St. Louis was below 50%. In Southwest St. Louis, St. Louis Hills, it was 75%. So what, I used to be on another show with my friend, the late Demetrius Johnson. And for the last, you know, 5 or 6 years we were on, he was like, what difference does it make whether it's a Democrat or Republican? It makes no difference to the people of North County or North St. Louis. And at the time, it really hadn't, that's not what the voter patterns look like. Now I think that's what the voter pattern looks like, that black voters are saying, what difference does it make whether it's Donald Trump or Kamala Harris? It's going to make no difference to us. And Hispanic voters are even more complex in how they voted. So of all the things they did wrong, I think finally the chickens came home to roost as far as African-American and Hispanic voters are concerned.
So I was saying earlier, and I want to see if you guys think that there's some truth to it, that because we swim in these waters, we assume everyone's into it the way we are. It would be like Wheeler assuming that I know baseball the way he knows it, or that I'm into sports the way he's into it. I'm into it. I'm going to watch the game, but I'm not going to understand it like you do. And I think the average voter out there knows enough about Trump to know he's kind of a bag, but they don't know as much as we do. And so they go like, okay, so he's salty. My dad was salty. And you know, he turned me into a man. And he talks about meat and potatoes issues. And this other lady, she seems nice, but she's kind of pie in the sky. She's kind of a lot of platitudes. And to me, that kind of was the election. People voted for the meat and potatoes.
You know, there was a poll done in South Texas of Hispanics, and it was a Republican pollster, and he asked them, what don't you like about the Democratic Party? And it was, I would not have guessed this answer. This is Hispanic voters. I mean, they're American citizens, but Hispanic voters in South Texas said, we don't like the fact that they give away government money and give free stuff to people who don't deserve it. Now, if you read J.D. Vance's book,
Hillbilly Elegy,
he talks about, Democrats sort of think, well, if we give freebies to Hispanics, Hispanic voters will like us. And they thought, well, if we give welfare benefits and freebies to rural white people, they'll like us. But what they didn't, because they don't pay close attention to real ordinary people, that a lot of real ordinary people looked at that with horror. In J.D. Vance's book, you'd be at the grocery store and you're working hard and barely making ends meet, and then somebody shows their food stamps or whatever it's caused now, and you know who that is, and you know they're situation, it makes you mad. We as Democrats cannot take individual voters for granted anymore. We have to go out and earn their votes based on what they think is important, and a lot of that is economics. But it is also fairness.
I mean, it was Clinton when he first ran, he said, it's the economy, stupid. And I think that is the number one issue that hasn't been focused on enough in this presidential election was the state of the economy and how expensive groceries were.
Yeah. So when Biden dropped out and Kamala took over, I was excited because I knew Biden was going to get shellacked after that performance. And I was caught up in all of the, we're joyous and we're positive and, like, yay. And I got caught up in it. But you look back and you think, well, what did that really mean, though? And I don't think it meant enough to the voters. It wasn't enough to combat the Donald Trump very, very understandable by everyone. And I don't think it's because he's talking down to people. I think that's how he thinks. I think that's how he talks. He's a billionaire who thinks like someone with $30,000. Does that make sense?
Well, it does. I actually think he was very beatable. I think by the time she got into the race, it was too late. And I've said this. I said it on your show. I've said it publicly for the last 2 years. Donald Trump's going to be Donald Trump's going to be the nominee. And if he wins, it's because Democrats blew it and lose it. And I said at the time, our party is perfectly capable of doing it. And we did it. I think there are things we could have done in the last 2 to 3 years where this would have been a one-sided race, but we didn't do it. And then she tried to run to the middle. Notice she didn't claim, oh, I'm going to be the first woman of color to be president. And she didn't, she didn't talk about defunding the police. She talked about, she did what Democrats, if they had been doing this over the last 10 years, we would have been fine. But it was way too late before our brand is broken. In Missouri, the governor won by 19 points, and yet we enshrined abortion into the Constitution. That tells you that voters do not like Democrats. They might agree with us on issues, but they don't like us.
So my good friend Andrew and I have been having this discussion. I wouldn't even say a disagreement, because he may be right. But he is a progressive liberal Democrat. I think that's fair to say, Andrew. And he thinks that the big mistake that the Democrats made was even trying to give lip service to the right, and that they should have just doubled down on what makes Democrats Democrats and not tried to be the Liz Cheney blue dogs that they tried. Where do you come down on that, Jeff? Do you think that they didn't go far enough to the middle, or they went too far?
Well, I think that if we're going to have an enduring majority, which we're a long way from, we're going to have to win over the middle. But it was too late to do that. And so, you know, what Democrats thought they would do is they had the machinery to turn people over, to turn people out, knock on doors and make phone calls. But what Donald Trump did is he excited his voters. So there is a point to that. Whether, you know, this election was, you know, obviously in the end by the number of states that President Trump won. He won all seven battleground states. It wasn't close. But within those states, those were winnable races. Maybe as a tactical thing, I would agree with him. But I think long term, if our lesson here is we're going to go farther left in order to get those voters excited, we will continue to lose elections. But I do understand it was too late for Kamala Harris to go against the tide. What, you know, we dug this ditch 3 years ago with defund the police and all this stuff with transgender men playing in women's sports. We dug that ditch, and it was probably too late for her. She was trying to get out of the ditch, and maybe it was too late, and maybe he's right as a tactical matter this time, but I don't think in the long run, I don't think that's a winning way to go.
Kurt, I know you don't like to be as political since you're the head of elections, which I get and respect, but you're a conservative guy, Republican guy. What do you hope for, best case, from a Trump administration 2024, and what are you concerned about, if anything?
Honestly, what I hope for and concerned about is kind of the exact opposite of what was just said, that the Trump administration doesn't try to go too far right and alienate too many voters, that they govern well, that they you know continue to lower taxes, have a lower tax burden for the whole country, but don't do anything too extreme that then causes people to go, well, wait a minute, this is not what we wanted. Because it's common in the midterms for the president's party to lose races. And as tight as the House is, I mean, it's possible that Trump will only have a majority, and a slim majority, for 2 years, and then he'll be fighting against a divided legislature. And that's always a difficult thing. So governing well and having a positive movement for the country, so that there isn't a negative whiplash of voters going, hey, yeah, we gave Republicans all three branches, and that was too much for the Republicans to handle. That's what I'm hoping for, you know, that they do right, and I'm afraid of they won't do right.
And by the way, that, again, there were lots of things we could have talked about, but one of the things we could have said is when Joe Biden was elected, he was not elected with any mandate. He was elected because he was not Donald Trump. He went in thinking he was elected because he was FDR the second, and that was not why he was elected. If Donald Trump makes the same mistake and thinks, you know, the reason he was elected is he wasn't Kamala Harris, if he thinks he was given a mandate to do whatever he wants and overreaches, then the Democrats will smoke him, even as incompetent as we've been lately, will smoke him in the midterms.
When we come back, we'll talk local and state issues.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
424 at DGS on KMOX, Think Tank. We have Kurt Barr and Jeff Rainford here. So kind of a narrow issue, but I'm interested in it, that Governor-elect Kehoe is having a peeing match with Mayor Tashara Jones about local control, state control of the police department. Mayor Jones is saying, well, look at the numbers. The numbers are down everywhere. Violent crime, you know, carjackings, murders. Jeff, where do you come down on that?
Well, I was part of the group that got local control. And so as a matter of governance, almost every large, medium-sized, and small city has their own police department except St. Louis and Kansas City. So if it was such a great idea for the state of California, the state of Idaho, the state of Alabama, to take over Birmingham or Boise or Sacramento's police department, why isn't it happening? It's all politics, right? So I respect this governor. I actually voted for him. But, I mean, he's doing what he's doing because he got the support of the police union, and this is what the police union wants, so it's what he's going to do. I think it'll be a quagmire for him. He's going to own crime in the city of St. Louis.
Good
he's going to own, when there's a bad police shooting, they're going to protest his commissioners, and they're going to protest him. I live in the city. If the governor, which I don't think he would, but if he came to me and said, would you want to be on the police board, I'd be like, why would I want that aggravation? So how they even get anybody to serve, I don't know. I don't think he understands the quicksand he's going into, but it was a thing that he promised the police unions, and to his credit, he's following through on the promise. But I think it's bad governance, bad government policy, and
what
I think it's going to be bad for
him. What is the police unions not like about local control?
But that they have a boss. Right? The mayor is their boss. Well, so I was there under both. When we were in the mayor's office under state control, and we were in the mayor's office under local control. And local control, the mayor and the Department of Public Safety are your boss. You got to do what your boss says. It's like some of these fire protection districts out in the county that report to elected boards, and then they elect the boards. So they go to the governor, they get their people on there, and it's like, you know, they kind of have a boss in the police chief, but they don't have a boss the way they do when a governor's in charge of the highway patrol or a mayor's in charge of the police department, and they don't want a boss.
Earlier, Kurt, you and Jeff were talking about that lobbyists love term limits. Why is that?
Brain drain. So the idea is that it takes a while to understand the complexity of issue, to understand, hey, we should do this, but we can't go too far this way because of these other issues, these other constituencies, these other, you know, other unintended consequences. A lot of times when I was in the General Assembly, half the time we were doing bills to fix the unintended consequences that we just didn't see. And so it wasn't uncommon for think tanks or interest groups to say, hey, we have an issue we want addressed, and here's some model language that we think is a good idea. And it may be a good idea from their perspective, but it may not be either doable or, you know, a good idea that doesn't have unintended consequences. And as you're there longer, you're engaged in the debate, you're engaged in the research, you understand the complexity of the issue, but 8 years is a very short time to really get into.
So just when you're getting good, you got to go.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so then the only people who know the deals that were struck and the intricacies of it are the lobbyists who have been there for extended period of time.
Yeah, I mean, Congress does not have term limits, and some of the best experts in the country on foreign affairs are in Congress. Some of the best experts on tax policy are in the Congress. Some of the best experts in the military are in the Congress. You don't have that in the Missouri General Assembly because of term limits. I mean, you have somebody writing tax policy who's been in there for, you know, maybe 4 years before he's senior enough to, you know, move up onto the Ways and Means Committee, and the lobbyists have been there for 20 or 30 years, so the people with the most expertise. Unlike Washington, where you have a great deal of expertise in the Congress, the greatest expertise in state government is in the lobby with the lobbyists.
All right. Thank you, boys. We appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break right back after this. DG SNK Wex. Don't forget to go to Hardee's between now and December 20th to give your buck to Operation Food Search.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.